Dis 9:32, jy kuier saam met my, Michelle, hier by Casey at Work op hierdie prachtige Vrydag, 16de Mei. Maar nou eers op die lijn saam met my, het ek vir Jolyn Jacobs. With 18 years of teaching experience, Jolyn is dedicated to education and empowering teachers. As a school's general and home learning publisher at Oxford University Press SA. She focuses on equipping teachers with the skills and confidence to inspire the next generation. Her commitment includes making coding and robotics accessible and engaging for both teachers and learners. Good morning, Jolyn. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well. Thank you. How are you?
Very fine. Friday is always the best day going into the weekend.
We agree. 100% agree with that.
Jolyn, my first question today, what does the rollout of the coding and robotics curriculum mean for teachers and learners?
So what that means is at foundation phase, children are now going to get the opportunity to learn the theory and a little bit about how to apply the computational thinking, the way in which computers think and how we program them, to practical activities that they are doing in the classroom. And teachers are now going to be required to put that in the curriculum and to assess this as well.
The infrastructure is a big concern. So how does unplugged coding work, and can it really help under-resourced schools?
The beauty about how this curriculum has been developed is that for foundation phase, it's unplugged, which means you don't actually need any devices to teach coding and robotics. You don't need any devices to learn the skills. And what I love is how it's used things that teachers know already, like using play in order to learn, using projects, cutting out things, putting things together, using curiosity that children naturally have, and harnessing those to now teach this new skill.
Jolyn, are teachers receiving the training and support they need? Where are the gaps?
So teacher training has started with the government. There's also private initiatives in order to help teachers. Obviously, the scale is very huge, and teachers are being used to teach something they've not been trained for yet. There are technical aspects that I know a lot of teachers are going to be concerned with, whether or not they're going to even know what these things mean and are they expected to teach it. So a lot of the success relies on mentorship, on stakeholders really investing in preparing teachers and not waiting maybe for the rollout and the initiatives and training, but really approaching schools, having conversations, platforms like this where we can raise awareness. That's actually what's going to be key to the success of the initiative.
Why is the Oxford Illustrated Coding and Robotics Dictionary such a key resource?
What I love about the dictionary is it uses terms that we actually use every day that might not know too much about. For example, CGI or LED lighting. So these are things that are almost becoming commonplace, but when you actually say, now, what does this mean, we're going to hesitate. If we say, I'm going to download an app, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Mm. But if I start delving into that and saying, but now, what is an app, then there's silence. So the dictionary unpacks these terms as well as the more complicated ones like your algorithms and decomposition that teachers and children are going to be learning more about. So as a resource, it's a wonderful tool for teachers and parents who are wanting to get a little bit of a head start. Or even platforms like this, you've got your quizzes that you do, or you can do a word of the day. So that people who don't have access to purchase the resource itself, you can use something like this in order to still maintain promote awareness and knowledge.
Jolyn, what role can parents play, especially if they're not tech-savvy themselves?
So the big problem here is I think our children are becoming more tech-savvy than what the parents are. And it becomes necessary for us as parents to safeguard our children, I think. Even children who are we use this term now, digitally native. You know, they've grown up with knowing what technology is, but they're not necessarily sure how to use it responsibly. So I think at the very core of it is issues of being safe online. It's exactly the same like you would tell your child not to talk to strangers in a shopping center. Teach them that the same thing applies. You don't answer calls from people you don't know. You don't engage in conversations. Things like cyberbullying, the same thing that we teach our children about being nice to your friends at school when you're having conversations. We need to teach them not to say nasty things when you think you're kind of protected because you've got a pseudonym or a nickname and somebody might not know who you are. So even parents who are not tech savvy can still start teaching those basic skills. And also foster, you know, curiosity. My daughter asked me the other day why when we go to park the car in the shopping center, like how does the little light change to show where there's open parking spaces? And she's 10. And this kind of started the discussion because I asked her then, so what do you think? I didn't know the answer myself. And she says, well, maybe, you know, they measure the distance or maybe it's got a little camera inside it. And we took all these maybes and then kind of went and did a little bit of research ourselves. And I was open enough to tell her, I don't know. And that's really difficult for parents because we want to be seen as being in charge and being knowledgeable, understandably so. But the beauty of coding and robotics is that it relies on people who didn't know the answer and then went and figured something out to make life a bit easier or to make something better. So to start with this, I don't know, let's find out, is something that parents can really start doing. And then they can learn with their children and make it an enjoyable thing.
This is very helpful. I also have a 10-year-old, so I know exactly what you're saying.
I started thinking, you know, thing that I never used to think of before I started working with this curriculum. Is now when I stop at the robot, like, how does the light know when there's cars and how to change? And now you see one little light being fused, and I can actually find myself saying, oh, that LED must now be missing something. So it's nice to see how we do use the knowledge. And it does become a little bit of second nature as soon as you take the fear away from it. And that's really the biggest thing. There is this fear of, as I said, not knowing what to do, being a little bit embarrassed in front of your classroom or in front of your children. And once we address that, a lot of it starts to fall into place.
Can you share a line out of the dictionary as an example of how it helps to decode coding terms?
I'll go back to the one that I mentioned earlier on, which is the app. So in the dictionary, there's a little picture as well. And it gives you the app as the shortened version of the term. And then it says app is short for application or application software. These are downloaded onto a device and used for a specific purpose.
Where's the dictionary available? Sorry.
So you can get that from... Some kind of commercial stores do have them, but your best bet is to just hop onto the www.oxford.co.za website, and you'll be able to find a link there.
And Jolyn, do you know how far coding and robotics has come in school? Example, how many schools have included the subject in their curriculum?
Some schools have chosen to start, and one of the best ways that I found it works really, really well, is to start maybe a little extra mural. And this means that you can now ask a teacher who's enthusiastic about it, you know, the teacher who's kind of been saying for years, can't we do things better, can't we use technology, and give them a bit of a platform to now work with, again, some children who have a little bit of awareness, a little bit of the means to hop on board and be involved. And now, once the interest has started to generate and parents are interested, immediately we find more children want to be involved, which means you now need a second teacher. So now we've got teacher-to-teacher training that takes place. And as I said, that fear starts to dissipate. So if you can at your school start a little coding club, even if that is working with STEM-based projects, putting things together, working with mechanics, putting wires together and little battery experiments, anything like that is going to start the conversation and remove the fear.
Do you have any tips for parents who need to help with associated homework?
Homework is always going to be a sticking point in any subject,
yeah.
Not just coding and robotics. But what I could say for the parent is, if you can kind of very sneakily take your child's textbook out of their bag once they have it and read up ahead, that's always a winner. I've done this many times, especially with mathematics. Because then you can work it out a little bit ahead of time. Or, as I said, have that discussion with your child and say, okay, let's figure this out together. So take it step by step. Let's go back to the previous chapter and read what happened there. Ask the teacher maybe to have a workshop once a term and say, listen, these are the topics we're going to cover this term. Here's the basis of what you're going to need to know. And when your child now comes home in week 3, 4, 5, here's maybe an answer sheet that if you're really stuck, you've got the answer sheet to refer to. Just don't leave it lying around where your child can see it.
Jalen Jacobs, thank you very much for your time this morning. Any last word from you for the listeners out there before we greet?
Just be excited about it. There's obviously a lot of problems, as with any new thing that we approach. But if we can look at the benefits of it and really understand that we might not be ready as parents and teachers, but our children are ready. And it's not fair on them to hold them back.
Thank you very much. You must have a great weekend. This will also be available as a podcast on our Facebook page for everyone to share later. So thank you very much, Jalen Jacobs. Keep on doing what you do. And thank us again for the interview this morning.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Daar was Jalen Jacobs, sy die School's General and Home Learning at Oxford University Press, South Africa. Laat ons sommer weer slim gemaak vir oggend. Kyk hier, die tegnologie en alles raak net al hoe beter by die dag. Hier is All Four.
The City's favorite, Casey, 107.7.